Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Belle Starr.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio C, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Sound effects. I can't even find them.
Yay, clapping.
Clapping. How's Cannabis Kid?
Doing awesome. How's Bellstar?
Bellstar is beautiful. How's our non-tech gal, Sativa Sister Tech Gal non-tech gal? Oh, we got a thumbs up.
She's awesome.
That means it's awesome. That means we're really on air. That means we're live. We need a light up on air studio sign. Can we get one? Yes. We'll see. Oh, yeah. On air. Flash. All right. Good morning. It is May 4th. May the fourth
be with you. Give a little shout out to my little birthday girl, Miss M.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Miss M.
Happy birthday to you.
Can't finish that. Sorry, you got halfway and you're like, ah. Well, happy May 4th, 2016. How's it going out there, folks? There's a lot.
We want to hear from you. Going. Call in.
We got to call in.
818-646. 9125.
Is that it? After 4 years, you don't
you know
phone number?
It's like I get really excited, and then it's just at the end, I start questioning.
Yeah,
what
five,
is that?
555-9911. 8675309.
See, it's those ones that have those multiple numbers in it, like 2255.
I still remember my phone number from when I was little.
Really?
2221265.
Mine was 889-2740.
High five. Because stoners are smart.
And then
that's
I remember
right.
It was 743-8823. There's another one that I remember from
2741 Sargent Avenue. My brothers are still impressed by that. I can give you a zip code, but I don't want to tell you where I used to live because you might all go there.
Wow. Like, address, huh?
Like sign your name in the ground and carve your name in the tree and do all that kind of celebrity
stuff.
Well,
once you do it so many times, I guess.
The tree falls over?
Just carving.
Oh, my Lord. Psychedelic here. Speaking of psychedelics, last week's interview, because we're going to get into this week's interview. We love last week's interview, and we were told that you should get as high as you can. That's pretty much basically the gist of it, right?
Who told us that?
What do you mean, who told us?
Just kidding.
40-year stone.
I'm just kidding.
40-year stone said, you know what? Keep getting stoned, man. You should just get high. And I would say what's wrong with a little happy. People are afraid of the high. I'm going to describe the high. I'm going to explain what that is. And what I tell people, especially older people, it's the onset of the medication reacting in your body.
Mm.
And that could be energy. It could be creativity. It could be the giggles. It could be happiness. It could be paranoia if you pick the wrong sativa strain.
True.
And you're already anxious.
Yeah.
It could be relaxation.
It could be sleepy time.
It could be mellow. It could be movie time. It could be time to vacuum the entire house and your neighbors. What are they doing right now? Where
and dust with your foot at the same time.
Yes. You put something on your dog's tail and have them run around the house. Just, you know, you get that strain.
And you get creative.
And then you wash your car. And you're like, I could wash my car 7 different ways.
I could wash everyone's car.
I could wash. Neighborhood car wash. Signs go up. Everyone's happy. They're like, ooh, she picked the right strain this morning.
That's the kind of strain you want to get for your volunteers.
I'll have what she's having.
patient volunteers.
What is that salary?
I don't
have
a
cheese
added.
Vomit.
Oh, no. Cheese added.
Oh, nice.
I just feel
very nice.
Sativa. So we bust into that because we have a guest on this morning who's not only president of the AZ for Normal, but also, I believe, the creator and founder of the psychedelic club that's just started in Tucson, Arizona here. And we're going to talk about everything. We're going to talk about what's going on with our petitions and such. And then we're going to talk about psychedelics because we got an all-in-one kind of guy here. And if we can, why don't we just say good morning to Mr. John. Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday.
Good morning, John.
Good morning. Are you with us?
I'm Cannabis Kid. It's so exciting to be on. I love your show, and I just am honored to be the guest this morning.
Well, it's always an honor to have you on.
And we love having you too, John.
Absolutely. So welcome on Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona morning. It's beautiful out there already. It's already warm. It's already 73 and sunny. I went out in flip-flops this morning. So, John, you're not only president of AZ for Normal, but tell us what else you got going on in your pocket there.
Well, yeah, thanks so much for asking. You know, I have been president of Arizona for Normal for many years at this point, and I saw, starting about the end of last year, I saw a real need to bring attention to the value that psychedelics can play, both in medical, in a medical setting, in a therapeutic setting, in a spiritual way. And,
right.
You know, a few of us got together and decided to create a club, the Tucson Psychedelic Society, that would help educate the community about what these substances are with real factual education, as well as how to use them safely. We know that people are going to experiment with substances. We know that. They do that. And how do we help people make those choices, make safer choices, make better choices? And so all of those things were coming together that led us to create the Tucson Psychedelic Society. First meeting was in January, and we've been going strong ever since.
Excellent. And tell us about, you know, what's going on in the club. Who meets there? Do you actually use the psychedelics? And which psychedelics are you guys exploring and educating yourself with? Because, you know, the movie Altered States. Have you seen that one? I don't know if you've seen that one. But, you know, William Hurt used a depth
perception tank. Yes, of course.
Yeah, he used a depth perception tank to gain a spiritual and psychedelic awareness. But he also went out in the desert and did something else, and I don't know if it was peyote or ayahuasca. What are you guys doing over there, and how are you doing things spiritually or recreationally or medicinally?
Right. Well, that's a great question, Val, and I want to point out that many of these psychedelics are illegal. And so as a group, we don't provide any psychedelics. This is not a group where people can come and buy psychedelics. This is nothing like that. But what we do is plan events where psychedelics may or may not be at. But allow, you know, work to educate people on how to use these substances safely. Also train our members on how to help people with difficult psychedelic experiences. If anyone has been to festivals around the state or in California or Nevada, electronic music festivals or otherwise, you will see people having a difficult psychedelic experience. It's not super common, but it does happen. And,
right.
You know, we find that when law enforcement gets involved with these people, it does not go well. People see the uniform of law enforcement, and automatically their blood pressure goes up and their stress level increases. And what we find, if we can bring somebody who's having a difficult experience into a safe surrounding, have somebody be there, not to direct them in how to have a better experience, but to just help be there and maybe gently guide the person in a safe and responsible way to have a better experience. And
absolutely.
And so these are some of the things that we're advocating and proposing. But certainly most of us in the group do use different psychedelics. We've got a member who's got cluster headaches, which is a very severe form of migraine. You know, and sufferers report banging their head on the wall, you know, in order to try to relieve themselves of this pain. Well, members of the Cluster Busters, which is a cluster headache support group, learned a while back that magic mushrooms or hallucinogenic mushrooms can help relieve these cluster headaches. And oftentimes, you know, we're not talking about the dose that might bring on a full psychedelic experience. Many times patients can get relief with what we call microdosing or smaller doses of these substances. So it depends on patient to patient, at least when we're talking about the medical part of this. And so dosing is a big part of the education that we hope to provide the community.
So do you know, medically, that's interesting to hear that mushrooms, psychedelic mushrooms, help with cluster headaches, because I'm not sure what a cluster headache is, if it's just a really intense headache, or I don't know why they call it a cluster, but when you use psychedelic mushrooms, you tend to enhance an experience. So I wonder how physiologically and biologically, how that all works to take that headache away. That's just an interesting medical question I have. Like, how? You know what I mean?
Well, you know, and there were some really fantastic studies that came out last month. I think many of your listeners, or some of them, may have seen articles in major newspapers and things like that, where they gave pharmaceutical LSD to patients and ran them through an MRI machine. And what they saw was the brain just lit up. Communication between different areas of the brain that normally don't communicate were communicating. And what the researchers came out of this was that psychedelics, particularly LSD was what was studied in that particular study, but can bring about profound changes, positive changes in folks, people who you know, have traumas or post-traumatic stress from abuse or from a car accident or you know, social anxiety issues or severe anxiety issues. I mean, these are all things that the researchers in this major LSD study felt could be relieved, and they had seen some relief in the patients that they had studied. So these studies are all available online for your listeners at the BeckleyFoundation.com. And you can read and see the scans and how and what the researchers thought, what they extrapolated from the results.
Wow, that's really interesting. It's, you know, back in the day, we've all tried a little something. But, well, some of us are shaking our heads no, some are giggling here. Okay, so I tried something. It's already out of my system. I can't go to jail now.
Right.
20 years ago. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you were talking about having safe experiences, or what, you know, people would call trips. But having a safe experience and knowing your own self before doing something of this nature, because psychedelics can be extreme for people in either way, positive or negative. So what do you do to help prepare somebody for having one of these experiences?
Well, what we do is, you know, educate people about you know, the fact that they, you talked earlier about how a psychedelic can enhance the feelings that you're having at the time. And that's a really good point. You know, we want people to think about when they're about to use a psychedelic. This is not really something that should be a rash decision. This is something that needs a little planning. You know, many of these substances are an 8-hour experience or trip. And so being in a safe place is really critical. You don't want to use a psychedelic and then have to drive across town to get to your safe place.
Or drive anywhere.
Or drive anywhere. That's exactly right.
Or in a forest. I'm not saying.
Yeah, but it's make sure you're in a safe place. Keep one of your group at the time. Try to have one person who's not on any substances, you know, so that they can kind of keep an eye on everybody.
Sometimes that's difficult.
It's like a DD. It's a designated, you know, observer. Yeah, a DO. Designated observer. Get your DO.
That's right.
There you go. You do, and
that's
you
right.
have to make sure you're in a good frame of mind. You're in a happy place. You want to be in a happy space before you go on a journey, such as anything.
Such as an experience like that.
Such as that type of an experience.
Yes.
What other medical conditions are you finding, like other than like the headaches and things like that? Are these known to cure cancers? Are they known to help with arthritis, the things that, you know, we're dealing with cannabis now? Do they touch on those medical conditions as well?
Well, they really do, Belle. It's a great question. You know, we have patients that are using small doses of LSD, microdosing as we call it, to combat chronic pain issues. So a patient can use a small bit of LSD and not get a strong psychedelic experience, but get some pain relief as a result of it. So that's exciting to see how that works. And what prohibition has brought us is an inability to do very accurate microdosing, right? Because we're having to source these substances in an illegal market. And
so
things can be contaminated we don't know the potency sometimes. So the important thing is, that's another thing that we would do to educate people, is to know where those substances are coming from. And don't just buy anything. You know, you've got to really know who you're getting it from and they have to know.
You
know. I wouldn't know where to start these days.
Yeah. Scary.
So,
yeah.
Are you taking it in, like, do you actually get the roots of the plants yourself and cook them up? Are you taking, like, you know, back in the day, acid came in pretty little pictures on a piece of paper and everyone got a little tab and went their way, but are you doing, like, liquid? Are you tinctures? Are you doing forms like that for people? Or how are you using these things? The actual...
LSD still comes in little pretty pieces of paper. It also comes in what folks call gel tabs. So it's this little square of gelatin that's hard and can be cut into small pieces. It also comes in liquid, kind of looking like a tincture.
Yeah.
So you can cut the little piece of paper into tiny squares to make your microdosing. It's LSD, you need a very small amount, even to get the psychedelic experience. You need a much smaller amount for the microdosing therapy.
Yeah.
And, So, and at places where these substances come into the community, many of those folks have test kits and can test the substance, not for the potency of it, right? But they can test for contaminants or things that shouldn't be in there. And that can really be important. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, that's good. You've got to test anything you're ingesting. for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, in Southern Arizona, we have a real opportunity with the ayahuasca plant. You know, ayahuasca and peyote are kind of different. They fall into the psychedelic category, but they're different kinds of psychedelics. They aren't really something that you do for a recreational or fun type of thing. They're more for introspective and personal development and overcoming anxiety or social obstacles. And so, you know, the opportunity to use these substances here in Southern Arizona is better because there are churches and spiritual organizations that one can become a member of and have access to these things.
Now, can you tell us the difference between the experiences you're going to have, let's say, between peyote, ayahuasca, mushrooms, LSD?
Yeah, you know, it really varies per person, and certainly the dose, your dose of mushrooms, like how many of the mushrooms that you eat, will create the intensity, and the intensity being, you know, from a smaller amount, it might make the world a little brighter, colors a little brighter, sounds a little more intense, just an overall feeling of well-being at smaller microdoses. That's where that pain relief comes from that I was talking about. But when you start getting to the regular recreational doses, now you start really seeing things. So seeing tracers when lights are moving or your hands moving in front of you. You might see, you know, versions of your hand as it's moving along slowly. We've had people describe water as, you know, being able to see every molecule of water as it's dripping from the sink. I mean, wow. You can really get some really visual experiences as well as just some incredible thoughts. You know, many famous musicians and artists, even Steve Jobs of Apple, describes his LSD experiences being life beneficial for his life, and that he learned things about himself, and he learned things about the design that where he wanted to take Apple. I mean, folks that have used these substances and have really described very powerful results or experiences that they can implement in their life or in their business or in their relationship. I don't think the power of these things should be underestimated, and that's why, you know, it's so important to give some thought or preparation to the experience.
Before having the experience. Right.
Yeah, before you have the experience. That's
yeah,
right.
And I can see where you would say mentally or spiritually it would help somebody maybe transform a way of thinking that wasn't maybe good for them at the time, but maybe after an experience they thought a different way, you know, about life or, like you said with Steve Jobs, his creativity, you know.
Well, when you go back and say what ayahuasca was used for, or, you know, it was for, like, rituals and things, you know, taking things to the next level. Warriors, spirit, you know, guides would all use this to, you know, anyone who was on a journey would take this. So it would be to, like, get to the next level of consciousness, get to the next level of thinking.
Shamans used it, you know.
It's really interesting now how it plays a part in, like, the present time. Because, I mean, there are still villages using it for that reason, but it is now almost, I mean, I wouldn't say it's mainstream yet. But, I mean, very few people are using it and trying it.
There's a following of it, for sure.
But having something like this in our own backyard here in Tucson is really interesting because, you know, we are so close to, you know, reservations where people are using peyote and You know,
well,
where there's
readily available,
really,
it's right out in the backyard.
Exactly.
You can go pick it and make it yourself.
And have, yeah, knowing the right ways to do it.
Yeah.
So is that some of the other things that you talk about, John, in the Psychedelic Club, is how much and dosing? And like you said, I know you talked about microdosing, but is there any, like, a safe way, you know?
Standardization, you mean?
Yeah, kind of like
this,
that.
Start with that.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you know? It must be hard to tell.
How to tell what? I'm sorry, what was the...
The exact dosages. Like, how are you having people dose the medicine for, you know, having a slight experience to a full-blown experience?
That's a good way.
That's right. And luckily we have some guidelines on what these dosages should be. And as we know with the cannabis plant, right, some plants are stronger than others. And
right.
Certainly the top of the plant is stronger than some of the buds down farther away from the light. So we know these things, and that can be true with other plants as well. So, I always went for myself, when I'm coming across a new source of a substance that I want to do, for example, LSD, I may try a small amount of it and see myself how the strength is before I will finish off the whole little piece of paper or whatever the thing is. And I think that can be translated to a lot of different substances. If somebody were to get a new batch of magic mushrooms that their friend grew, you'd want to try a little bit of it and see, you know, where the potency level is. And the potency level for you can be different from your friend. And so these are things for somebody to be careful with and to look out for themselves, for sure.
Absolutely.
It's not like more of these substances can be deadly, you know, that's not what we're saying. You know, people have taken a very a considerable amount of LSD and not died, but it can cause you to have a longer trip or a more intense trip.
Right.
And if you're not expecting that or not prepared for that, that can be uncomfortable. And so we want to make sure, we want to help people, you know, have the right experience for the right time, and in my eyes, that all should come together to give you the best trip you can have.
So, are all of these illegal only in the United States? Are they illegal other places, or can you go to the Amazon and just partake with them legally? Or, you know what I mean?
You can absolutely. So you can go to Peru or countries like that and have an ayahuasca experience. But I recommend that you have that experience here in this country. And there is ayahuasca ceremonies available, and as well as peyote available to most folks. And so to have that experience here in this country, you potentially have a safer experience, I think. Although I would never discourage anybody from traveling. But our friend Rick Steves always says that marijuana in particular he speaks of, but it's a great way to travel the world without leaving your home. A great story on many of these substances is that they provide a trip that allows you to go somewhere without leaving your house, potentially.
That's true. Just make sure that you take a trip.
Yeah, I was going to just say, you know, MAPS, which is an excellent organization, the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies, this is MAPS, the website is MAPS.org, they've gotten approval to study ecstasy, which is MDMA, they've gotten approval for the first time to study MDMA with couples. So this is couples therapy where they'll give MDMA to both the partner with the major issues. For example, a couple with a partner who has PTSD, for example. They'll give the partner with PTSD MDMA, but they'll also give the healthy partner MDMA. And then have a therapist there with them to have that experience together and bring them closer and overcome challenges that they've had. This has been particularly useful with our veterans coming over, you know, from a few tours in Iraq, really changes a person. And so how can we bring this couple together when the service member comes home? Clearly, the experiences that they've gone through have changed them and impacted them, and bring this couple together. So, I'm excited about the news that's coming out of MAP. They feel like that MDMA ecstasy will be approved by the FDA for use in therapeutic sessions. So, I'm excited for that.
Sure. Thank you.
Wow, that's so interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I did hear stories a while back. They were using this before in couples counseling. They would do it, you know, in the woods. It would be either a camping trip or, a lodge, somewhere where you're, you know, away from
man,
you know, you're able to concentrate on what's in front of you.
Yeah.
Away from, you know, civilization, and being able to get these feelings out, get these things out in a safe place. That's really, really interesting, John. So when does the meeting start, and how are things going with the meeting?
So the meetings are the fourth Saturday of every month. So coming up, that would be, look at my calendar. The 28th of May is the fourth Saturday this month, and that'll be over at the 420 Social Club there on 4th Avenue. Now, this is the last month that we're having our meeting over there. We're moving back to the Ward 6 Council offices there on Speedway starting in June. So stay tuned. We've got a new Facebook page for the Psychedelic Society. Please join that if you're interested in this subject. And then also Arizona for Normal has a Facebook page, and join that so you can stay tuned to meeting location changes that are coming up real soon.
Absolutely, and we have posted both of those on our blog here if you guys are chatting out there with us. Both pages are on our blog. So check it out. John, can we jump back into some spiritual psychedelic questions?
Sure, okay. I'd love that.
Well, I see on the MAP site that they talk a lot about PTSD, like you were talking about, and they show someone taking a little 75 milligram dose of the MDMA. Are there studies in each state where people can go participate in this, and is it just for PTSD, or are there, you know, a lot of other behavioral conditions that are out there that are getting studied for that too, so that they can check it out?
Well, in the United States, MAPS is really the leader in this therapy. MDMA is a Scheduled I substance, no medical value, so there's very little research that's happening outside of MAPS in the United States. So I would encourage somebody that, you know, is thinking about using MDMA, you know, remember that MAPS is using MDMA in conjunction with therapy, with therapists. So it's not It's the drug is helping to facilitate, you know, the therapy and how people are open to changing themselves. So I would caution somebody from running out to the street trying to find MDMA to help them. There's a lot of adulterated MDMA out there, and it's something that you want to use caution and join the group so that we can help you figure out, how to look out for problem MDMAs. You know, you often hear about somebody having a bad MDMA experience at one of these festivals. Well, what we learn is that's mostly other compounds that have adulterated the MDMA. It's generally a very safe substance, as you can see they're using it here in therapeutic sessions. But it's when, these chemists, this street MDA is made in clandestine labs, and then all along the way it can get adulterated by people. And so you want to be very careful about the substances that you're using, you know?
Absolutely.
I don't want to make it sound too scary, but I really think that people have to be careful.
Well, they do.
Have someone there that knows what they're doing
and testing the medicine, like you said, you should really.
Well, anytime we're taking anything like this, we're getting into testing cannabis now, making sure that it's safe and how important that is for people with compromised immune systems. It's the same way. You're taking something from the earth. You got to make sure it's still clean. It was, grown clean and taken care of clean, it's something that's important.
It's really a great point.
Yeah.
Really a great point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. DanceSafe is at many of these festivals. This is a great organization, mostly staffed with young people who travel to festivals around the country, and they often have test kits right there at their booth. And so people can stop by anonymously. It takes a tiny bit of the substance to test. So people are generally very willing to give up a small little bit, and they can test it and make sure or give the best indication that it is what it says it is.
Right.
And that's really, I think, a helpful thing, because many young people at festivals will often buy things from people they don't know, and mm-hmm. we've got to encourage people to do these things safely.
Absolutely. That's true for any medicine or anything you're putting in your system. It should be done safely. What kind of reports are you what kind of reports are you hearing back from your members or people you've talked to about the spiritual benefits? You have any life-changing stories out there?
Well, absolutely. We've many of our members have reported that, whatever religion they are, whatever spiritual beliefs they believe, it brings them closer, that these experiences bring them closer to their God or their beliefs and can really bring about an intimate feeling of your connectedness with your beliefs and how those things come together with yourself and bringing that all together. And I just think the potential there is incredible. We know that spirituality is a big part of human beings and big part of our overall health. Anything that we can do to bring about more connectedness or more feeling of fulfillment in our spiritual lives, I think, is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say yes to that. I think a lot, there's a lot of lost souls in America. There's not like one great religion or spirituality that we all come together as a whole entire country, and support. So everyone has their own different belief and, hopefully it's a healthy, positive one, and you can get, it can be enhanced, like you said, by that experience.
I think it also takes you closer to yourself, mm-hmm. knowing who you are,
in your own
which kind of helps you realize what that all is.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, you know, a lot of people don't ever, I think a majority of the world has not experienced themselves, you know, like that. And that's why I think there's so many things against drugs of this nature, cannabis that opens the mind, you know, ayahuasca and peyote all open the mind to a different way of thinking, a different way of consciousness. So I think when, you know, when it's masses, it worries people on how, you know, how they can control them. And I think it worries big groups because it no longer fits that same norm or that rut that we've been going in. It kind of brings them off to another group of a whole new group of people that are going, you know, there is a whole new other way of thinking. And it worries people.
Absolutely. That's a really good point. Yeah, for sure. And you talked earlier about, you know, journeys and with the with tribes, the Amazonian tribes and otherwise, you know, sending their members off and giving them a substance like this, like magic mushroom, like mushrooms there, or ayahuasca or peyote, and sending their members off. And that would be the journey through the forest and bringing themselves closer to the animals and to their environment and things like that. And I think there's some correlation to our current society and the fact that our young people moving into adulthood don't have any defined moment, don't have any way that's very muddled the way that they do that now. And it can be very confusing and it can lead to really poor choices. And I think anything that we can do to help people, you know, transition to the next part of their life, and it even correlates to end-of-life settings.
Mm-hmm.
These therapies have been used in end-of-life settings. It can really help ease that very scary time. And I've seen it used in that way, and it's just incredible. And I think those correlate with each other, and it's helping people transition themselves to the next stage of life, their next, you know, their connectedness within themselves, which is what you were talking about, Kat.
Right. And that also that transition into the next journey when
right.
they pass on from this life to the next, you know, can help transition that, you know, spiritual, mental state, you know.
We had read that it was death, you know, was one of the big ones because even with cannabis now, we see, you know, cancer patients using this as ease of the pain, you know,
hospice
patients
for end of life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, California just I passed a law allowing you to end your life, you know, if you're in a certain state, it is your choice. So I know these are things that are. These are conscious decisions that we as a human race are making, saying, you know, these people don't have to suffer anymore. It shouldn't have to be what's for right from wrong. It should be about the situation at the time and what that person's going through and what that person wants and what they need. And no longer having to feel that we have to suffer through something,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, all through time, it always seemed to be the suffering, you know. It was always, you know, even... you know, our grandparents, it was hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a cycle that it's going to break. So they took all the drugs away, Belle says.
They
took all the drugs away. So we're seeing a whole new consciousness rise as we're allowing, first of all, 24 states allowing cannabis programs or legalization, three and four, which are full-on recreational, you know, allowing the masses to be able to feel happy, like Belle says, being able to,
right.
There's nothing wrong with a little bit of happy. And I think more of America needs to be a little bit happy. I think our whole human race
suffering.
Here in America
yeah.
and the world is suffering from PTSD overload. We as humans, emotions are us. That's who we are as humans. That's what sets us apart from, you know, animals. And not that animals don't have emotions too, but we consciously know that we have them and can change them and be different ways. And
mm-hmm.
allowing a plant that allows this next can assist you in being able to break through maybe a pattern that was ancestral or
transform
thoughts,
ideas.
I think that's what a lot of people are worried about, because we can do it with these plants. And it's really interesting. I'm really excited about hearing more about just how plants are gonna.
They're coming back. That's what's so great. They're coming back. I mean, we were looking. Cannabis Kid and I were looking into the history of why we started making synthetic drugs in the first place, and you know, to isolate particular symptom relief, but it soon turned out to be just a big mess. And they had the right plants in the first place. They just tried to veer away from that, and I think we should just go back to our natural plant state.
Natural plant state.
Well, I agree with that for sure. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think we've got to also point out that there are animals that secrete psychedelic compounds. You know, the newest health code in Los Angeles is Cambo, which is a frog venom. And so folks are coming in to have the frog venom applied to their arm, and they go through a small psychedelic experience. And it's supposed to cleanse yourself. And so, you know, people are, that this has become very popular from what I understand in that area. And here in Southern Arizona, we have the Desert Sonoran Toad, or the Colorado River Toad.
Right.
And the secretions on that can be dangerous to your dog, but it can also provide for an experience as well. Now that experience is not something I would recommend that any of your listeners go out and lick a toad. That's not how it works. But there is potential there, and I'm, you know, interested to learn more and how that all works and the experiences that it can provide.
Well, because even in nature, animals themselves will get intoxicated off different berries or leaves or roots or whatever.
That's right. We even see in the Amazon, there's a monkey that will look for a particular toad, and they're symbiotic in their relationship. The monkey doesn't harm the toad, but you know, get some benefits from it. So pretty interesting. Yeah.
They get high with a little help from their friends.
Or they drink the sour fruit, which is gone. They particularly pick the ones that have been sitting there for a little bit longer.
Yep, that's true.
A little more.
Yeah, we've all seen that in, you know.
When they get
a
little bit
class.
Drunk and,
yeah,
you know.
Goop
so,
around.
I mean, and it's very interesting. They all wanted just a little, what did you say?
A little
help
happiness.
From their friends.
Yeah, a little help from their friends. Hey, John, what's coming up? What do you got? Are you going to be at any events coming up? Are there any activities? What's happening?
Yeah, well, you know, we're just coming off the busy spring season here in Southern Arizona. It's starting to get hot, and so we're going to take a little time off. Now, that being said, we may be out at the swap meet on Palo Verde.
Oh.
Right. Yeah, so we'll be out there collecting signatures for the AZFMR, which is one of the bills to legalize marijuana. There's another month or two, I think, to collect signatures.
Yeah.
And so we just turned in about 150 full petitions that Arizona for Normal had collected over the last couple weeks of events. You know, it's been a busy month in April and late March. So they're going to do a count, get those all notarized and do a count and see where we're at with numbers. And if we need some more signatures, we'll be out at the swap meet. We need Spanish speakers if anybody loves this issue and the issue of legalizing marijuana, or you want to help with that. We really need Spanish speakers to be successful out at the swap meet. But as you know, the swap meet on Friday and Saturday night can be a very busy place.
It's happening.
Be a lot of fun to be out there. Yeah.
Do you know the count so far, where we are or where AZFMR is with their signature count?
I don't know the count. Yeah, the last numbers I heard were before the busy spring festival season. So I know they're busy counting away right now, so we should have some preliminary numbers soon. I really hope we made it. You know, we're down here in southern Arizona, but our folks, friends in Phoenix and Flagstaff, were busily collecting signatures as well. So I'm hoping that that'll all come together and mean we have enough and we can make history by having two legalized marijuana bills on the ballot, which nobody's ever done before.
That would be great.
Well, people need to know what their choices are.
It's AZFMR.
Yeah.
Are you going to be at the Phoenix Global Marijuana March?
yes, I hope to be there. Yeah, will you remind me when that is, Belle?
May 7th. That's Saturday, May 7th, actually, which is also the same day as, I believe, the 420 Social Club monthly barbecue and potluck fundraiser, if they're still having that. Saturday, May 7th, Phoenix Global Marijuana March.
Wow, great. Are you guys going up for that?
I don't know. I was just thinking we probably should. I bet the cannabis.
I know. I was just thinking I probably should. Yeah, let's all ride in the cannabis with Stacy.
Here we go. I think that's called a field trip.
If it's in a bus, it's a field trip.
That's right. Get your friends together. We're going on a field trip.
That's right.
Awesome.
Yeah,
well, John,
I heard they just came back from Bisbee. So the cannabis was just down in Bisbee. Stacy took a few local folks, and it's had a great time. So out there bringing together our Bisbee folks, which we've got a lot of supporters in Bisbee. It's a great town, and we love our Bisbee friends.
That's fantastic. Yay for Bisbee and Tombstone and all the towns. Vote us in. Vote it in, guys. If you're going to vote for anything, come on, vote for cannabis.
Vote for cannabis.
That's right.
Well, we so appreciate all you've been doing for the years and years and years you've been doing it. And keep up the good work and enjoy your spiritual journeys to come. And we will hopefully see you on the bus on Saturday.
Thank you so much, Todd. It's a pleasure having you on.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you both so much. Have a great day, okay?
Thank you. You
Take
too.
Take care, John.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
All right. John Gettle, AP Paranormal, and the Tucson Psychedelic Society. And if you go to Blog Talk Radio, if you just go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com and check out the radio link, it'll take you right there. You can blog with us and chat with us. I think you have to sign up to get on the blog, but it'll take 2 seconds to put your email and your name in. And you can chat with us online live.
Weekday Wednesday.
Check it out. Check this out. Hang on. This is in my way.
What's in your way?
If you suffer from one of these medical conditions and have been diagnosed by an Arizona licensed physician, medical cannabis may help relieve your symptoms. Tumbleweeds Health Center is Arizona's premier cannabis certification, health, and education center. Our primary focus is to help the patients of Arizona obtain their medical marijuana card and educate everyone about medical cannabis. With current medical records, approval is a simple process. Contact Tumbleweeds Health Center to see if you qualify for your Arizona medical marijuana card.
Tumbleweeds Health Center, voted number one certification center and number one education center. Thank you so much. That's awesome. We love it. We love you guys. We love doing what we do. It's a fabulous thing. Cannabis is awesome. We love this non-toxic, safe plant.
Yeah.
But you should know yourself.
Know your systems. Know your body. If you've got anxiety or depression, if you've got depression, you probably don't want an indica. And if you have anxiety, you probably don't want too much of a sativa. So know where you're coming from. You know, if you want to clean the house and do a car wash for the neighborhood, you know.
You know.
Find the right strain.
I had a friend ask me about cannabis and pregnancy the other day.
Mm.
And I know it's such a touchy subject, but you know how many other things a mother goes and uses that we have known her to use? Alcohol, you know, we have fetal alcohol syndrome from that. Cigarettes tend to cause lung problems and breathing problems for the baby, asthma and things like that as the baby develops.
Mm-hmm.
Cannabis. We know that when you use cannabis, it's a very little amount of smoke when you use it. But if you're using it for the morning sicknesses and things like that, you know, having it in a vape form or edible form is probably best. And so I sent her over a couple articles, and she uses it for her chronic pain. And even her doctor said, you know, we don't know much about it, but I can't see why I would take you off that and put you on four other different pharmaceuticals. So it was really nice to hear the doctor say, she wasn't promoting it, but she wasn't And but I'm glad doctors are feeling more comfortable to actually say things like that, because it really is up to the person and choosing what they want to use.
Yeah.
And, you know, we still don't know what all those pharmaceuticals do to us.
No.
And it's just, you know, where we're going with this is being able to have the right to choose your own medicine, and whether it be natural
or
derived from something else and then changed to fit
some
other system.
Whatever works for you safely.
Yeah.
You know, it's about people's choice, really.
Right.
So I was looking on acmarijuana.com, and they had an article about a football player who just got in trouble for posting a bong hit on YouTube. Did you see that? Here we go. NFL draftee's bong rip post on Twitter. Sorry, on Twitter cost him over $12 million. Okay.
So we
Laramie Tunsil at the University of Mississippi offensive tackle was favored to be the number one pick of the 2016 NFL draft on Thursday night, but roughly 10 minutes before the draft was to start, a video of him hitting a bong was posted on his Twitter account.
Oh.
10 minutes, man. Oof. Laramie's Twitter account was hacked, as well as his Instagram account, according to reports from CNN. On his Instagram account, the hacker posted a conversation between Tunsil and an Ole Miss Athletics Department member regarding an NCAA violating exchange of money for Tunsil's mother's utility bill. Because of the Twitter video, Tunsil was picked 13th by the Miami Dolphins. The difference in pay from the third pick and the 13th pick was roughly $12.11 million in salary and another $8.75 million as a signing bonus. In response to the Twitter video, Tunsil said, "Man, it was a mistake. It happened years ago. Someone had hacked my Twitter account, and now that's how it got on there." Tunsil acknowledged the post and said, "I made a mistake. That happened."
He didn't make a mistake.
Wow.
He needs to say, "I was using it for neurological reasons,
kidding.
A neuroprotectant because of my job."
I mean, his migraines. Jeez, there is concussion. Give the guy a point.
Come on, people. We all know.
Someday we'll be able to say,
you know,
admit it.
This isn't the first person. There was
a
pro boxer who got in trouble for using cannabis, and was.
That's what I had to say. Ooh.
I mean, you're getting punched in the freaking face, people.
Repeatedly. It's their choice. But it should be their choice to use cannabis.
Right.
Take a bong hit.
A non-toxic.
Like knockout.
Right.
Bam.
Bam.
I don't know. Super slamming from the top rope.
I don't.
All right. Anyway, check it out. You know what's happening?
I want you.
I know.
To listen.
And all your family. Weedsday Wednesday. Thanks, guys, for tuning in and listening to our gobble about cannabis. Thank you, John.
for not having bubbles. For calling in and talking to us about the Tucson Psychedelic Society and AZ for Normal.
I learned a lot today.
And everybody, go up to Phoenix and support your Global Marijuana March and help people sign this petition. We really need to get this on the ballot. This is insane. We need this. Patients need this. It's for the patients, for
right.
the people. So come on down to the Tumbleweeds Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. Come get certified. It's a simple process. We'll make it super simple. Keep it super simple.
Kiss.
Keep it super simple. All right. See you next week. We love you. Have
love
a great
you.
Day. And as always,
be smart,
be safe,
and
educate. Thank you. See you next week. Bye, Cannon's kid.
Bye, Bellstar. Bye, Silver Sister.
Bye, Tucker.